The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Radical hospitality. For a movement that was probably fighting for its life, these words may have seemed counterintuitive. We need to be protecting. We need to make sure we're maintaining ourselves, and yet Jesus intentionally sends his disciples out and tells them to welcome. This is the very end of chapter 10, where we've spent the last 2 weeks. It's a long story, so it's helpful to remember where it all started and some of the pieces along the way. Jesus recognizes the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. That's what he tells his disciples, recognizing the magnitude of what they're taking on. This unfolding kingdom of God, this radically different way of encountering the world, of being present. And so he asked his disciples to pray. And lo and behold, they become the answers to the prayer. They become the laborers to go out. And he calls the 12 and gives them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every infirmity. He gives them authority to go out. Remember what I said last week, that this movement and this word takes place in two different times. There's the time of Jesus when he spoke the words, and there's the Matthean community that receives these now. And the world had changed in between those two times. The temple had been destroyed. The very concept of who the Israelites were was gone. The world that they embodied was filled with tension, doubt, and destruction. The natural thing to do is to circle the wagons, to bring people in, to stay in the house and to protect. But Matthew dares write the words of Jesus to his community, to go out, and reminds them that they have been given authority to act on behalf of God. They have the authority to act on the behalf of God, which is the same word that comes down to us. We just heard it at the baptismal font a few moments ago. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works. Light is not meant to be hid. Earlier on in Matthew's gospel, he said that. We have the authority to speak on behalf of God when Jesus also sends us out. And so they go, this inner circle, these 12, but the mission starts small. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Our movement's going to stay close. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that old northern kingdom, around the Galilee, around Capernaum. That's still a lot of space to cover. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those were the words and the mission statements. Take nothing with you. It's a short packing list. No extra clothes, no money, no food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay until you depart. If they welcome you, let your peace remain on that house. This is Jesus developing a different sense of hospitality. First, you have to be able to receive it. To get to the end of the story, first, you have to be welcomed. And you stay at the table, and you do what people do. You break bread, you have conversation, you share a meal, you tell stories about the kids, celebrate anniversaries, birthdays. You learn the little details that make life what it is. But if that's not the case, he says, go on. We don't have time to waste. Take your peace back and go. There's a part that we skipped over a couple of weeks ago that tells the disciples how tense this mission is going to be. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Might be one of the most crafty things Jesus ever said. Wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We need to be wise to the world that we live in. We need to know the rules that the world demands we play by. And we need to know how to wriggle out of them. We need to know that the rules of the kingdom of God are different than the rules of the kingdom of this world. That's why the mission is going out. That's why we're proclaiming the good news in the first place. But we need to do it with humility, and we need to do it well, because we are bearing the image of God. We have that authority. So be crafty, but also know who you are embodying and who you are asking people to encounter. It's not always going to be easy. You're going to be dragged before councils and flogged in synagogues. They will deliver you up. It's not always going to be easy. And to Matthew's community, I think this would have rung very true. The experience of the Word of God not always being welcome. Of not only not being welcomed in a house or a community, but being exposed, being taken to the authorities, being put on trial, being questioned about your allegiances, because after all, Caesar is God, not Jesus. It's going to be tough. But again, I have given you authority, and God goes with you. So have no fear. He tells his disciples, have no fear. Your life is more valuable than many sparrows. God knows the number of hairs on your head. Fear not. And at the end of it, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet, whoever welcomes a righteous person, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And by now the disciples know that that's going to be twofold. That they're going to be welcomed and will also have to welcome. That they will be given hospitality and they will give hospitality. And that God is present in all of those spaces. That God is the one who has sent them out. That God is doing a new thing. And again, the time difference is significant. God is doing a new thing in Jesus. God is doing a new thing that Jesus says doesn't discount the law, but embodies it. It's a radical new understanding of what God has always intended. This story has a long arc. back to creation and covenant, this story is always about God coming to us, God desiring to be in a relationship with us, God welcoming us to the table. And then to Matthew's community, after the temple had fallen and the world turned upside down, a story about hope. A reminder of what Jesus has said. The kingdom didn't die on a hill outside of Jerusalem, and the kingdom certainly wasn't abolished when the temple was burned to the ground. God is still at work. The story's not over. We catch a glimpse of that in our second readings this summer when we're traveling with Paul in his letter to the Romans. Paul writing with urgency, but writing with hope. The kingdom's not over. And in chapter 6, it's all about baptism. It's all about that initiation, that commitment to joining the movement, making an intentional decision to be a part of this unfolding kingdom. And Paul knows that it's got consequences. Paul was taken before councils. Paul was beaten in synagogues. Paul knows the cost of discipleship, and he does it anyway, because he remembers that he's got authority and that he bears the image of God. And so he writes to a church that he'll never see in Rome and proclaims that just as we have been buried with Christ in his death, we have been resurrected in his resurrection, and baptism is what does it. Baptism is God's promise, but it's our choice. And that's weird because we as a church mostly baptize infants. And what can an infant say in response? But as I was talking with Jenna last week about baptism and what it means, it's a daily choice. Baptism is a daily vocation. It's rising in the morning and remembering the authority that we have been given and the grace that we have been given, and choosing to live a particular way in this world. Choosing to welcome. Choosing to be welcome. Choosing to take the risk, knowing that it might get difficult. Choosing to love in a world that doesn't always love. Choosing to be gracious in a society that is not always gracious. Choosing to forgive when that work is really hard, as we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. This is a daily reality. And so it's a good reminder to hold this chapter in tension. It's all one part of an unfolding story. That Jesus recognizes that there's something going on in the world that we can be present for. It's not the way God has intended, and God has a response. So pray, people of God, because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Pray deeply and know that it might be you who gets called to be the answer to the very thing that you're praying for. And remember that you have been given authority, empowered, named, claimed by the God of the living, the eternal one, that you are more precious than many sparrows, that God knows you inside and out, and that God has sent you to go out into the world to bear the very image of the divine, to be a part of the body of Christ, to welcome as we have been welcomed. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So every day, we rise to the great promise. We rise knowing that God loves us and has claimed us, and that God calls us, even in the messiness of this life. So let us go. And always remember, welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen.